I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Over the last year, during my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a visit to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. Over the next few weeks, I'll be talking to people who inspire me, remind me to take better care of myself, and people who I believe you, the listener, will benefit greatly by listening to. I'm so delighted to say that today I am joined by Pippa O'Connor Ormond, mum, businesswoman. The list is endless.
Good morning.
Pippa, thank you so much for taking part in the Good Glow.
Thank you for asking me. Honestly, when I saw your name come up my phone and when you said I was like, yeah, I'd love to. At Christmas just gone, I was going away with my family, and hadn't really gotten into podcasts, and I had said when I was in the airport, I asked people on Instagram, can you recommend podcasts? And like every second one was, you have to listen to the Good Glow, you have to listen to the Good Glow. So that's what I did when I was away. I listened to basically everyone you'd done up until then. I listened to them back to back and I loved them.
Oh, that's such a compliment. Thank you so much.
You have such a natural way, and you seem really, you know, interested in who you're talking to. And I really liked your way with people. So like the moment you asked me, I was like, absolutely.
That's the thing with the podcast, is like I pick people who I think, like I say in the intro, that is going to inspire people
people. When you're listening, because you can really tell that you want to talk to that person.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm so happy you're here today.
Thank you.
I know it's such a long story to how you got to this point in your life, but can you just give us a kind of outline of how you got to this point?
Oh, gosh. Do we have a week or do we have an hour? Well, so I started modelling pretty late on in the industry, which was, it's young. I was 20, but in the modelling industry, that was kind of later on. So I started out not wanting to really do that, to be honest, because I had absolutely no confidence at all. And a friend of mine was modelling, and she said to me, you have to come in with me. You have to come into my agency. And I kind of kept putting it off. And I kept saying things like, oh, I'll go to the gym and I'll just tone up a little bit. Or I just kept putting it off because I had no confidence. That was it. So eventually she dragged me in one day and they said to me, oh, yeah, we might be able to get you some work. And then I got a call later that day to do my first job the following day. And when I say like the sweat and the anxiety that came over me, because I'd not done, you know, anything like that. I'd been in Miss Ireland a few years previous.
Oh, just in Miss Ireland.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, as Miss Kildare from Kildare. So but that was my first kind of stepping stone, I suppose. But to be asked to do like a proper job that you were going to be paid for, I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I remember doing it with Sarah McGovern. Do you know Sarah McGovern?
Yes.
And I looked up to her so much. I'd always, you know, buy the newspapers and I'd always see her. And when I was told I was doing a job with her, I couldn't believe it. Didn't know what to do with myself. So that was literally the second day after I met the agency. And then it just progressed more and more. And at the time I was working for my brother Kian as a PA. He's a show jumper. He will tell you I was the worst PA in the world. That job wasn't for me.
Was it because he was your brother, or just like being a PA wasn't
for you? Probably
because
he was my brother. I wasn't a very good organizer. I'm still not, believe it or not, the best organizer. So that was not for me. And I probably, you know, his world is completely different. His world is horses and show jumping and training and competing. And that just wasn't me. Mm. So I slowly left that and, yeah, began to model full time. And I did that full time, like constantly, until I got pregnant with Ollie. So until I was 28.
And you were a model at the time when it was so huge in Ireland. I remember those days, and we'd be like, oh my God, here's all the models.
It was just madness, wasn't it? People were getting models every day for like the opening of anything.
Yeah. And do you look back on that time with fond memories?
Oh, I do. Like, I was young. I met Brian, my now husband, obviously, pretty early on when I was like 23. So I do have such fond memories of those years because we just had the best fun. And, you know, like modeling was great, but I never thought of it as my full-time career mm-hmm. because it wasn't something I had aspired to do. I literally just fell into it. But because I was fortunate enough to be given work all the time, I just, the years went by. But they were crazy days. And, you know, we had so much fun and I met so many friends in the industry that I still have today, for sure.
So was it around this time then that you met Brian?
Yes, met Brian. Met Brian in Crystal Nightclub, where all good love stories happen. Oh, can you imagine? So funny when I think back now. It was Sarah Kavanagh's 21st. And Brian was good pals with Sarah's boyfriend at the time. And he had invited Brian in. And it was so funny because, God, more Brian's, and confusing you now. Brian McAvoy, who's a photographer, was taking mm-hmm. my picture on the way in. And I was standing there on my own and my husband, Brian, walked past. And Brian, the photographer, said, "Oh, Brian, will you hop into a picture there with Pippa?" And it was so funny. It was literally, that was our first kind of meeting. I think we had a few drinks before we arrived at the party. I was a bit giddy. He was stone cold sober. And he will tell the story, of course, very differently to me. He will say I was very like forthcoming to him.
It
was
nice. Actually,
yeah. It was the night before his first live show presenting Eurostar. So I think he drove in because he wasn't drinking or whatever. So he says he was very shy and I was the opposite. I don't believe him.
No, I don't either. I'm on your side. And then, so you were 28, you were pregnant. Did you feel like you were kind of moving away from the modeling?
I felt, to be perfectly honest with you, I felt like I was being pushed out. Like one or two kind of things happened. I'd been signed up to do a pretty big job. It was probably the biggest thing that I would have done, to be the face of a makeup brand. And then I was probably only like very early on pregnant. And then when I felt I was kind of, I was like 10 or 12 weeks when I said to them, "Just so you know, I am pregnant. It won't interfere with my job that I'm doing with you. It'll all be fine, blah, blah, blah." So long story short, they basically dropped me by saying, "Oh, we're going in a different direction." But I know it was because I said I was pregnant and that wasn't suitable for the brand or whatever stupid reason they thought, which is mind blowing.
That is, I don't think that would happen today, would it?
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. So you're talking 10 years ago, more, 11 years ago. So yeah, I don't think it would. And I don't think anyone would kind of stand for that now either. Mm. Whereas at the time I knew deep down that that was the reason, but you're nearly embarrassed. You're like, oh, okay. I was completely different back then. I was very much, if anyone said boo to me, I'd probably, you know, go back into the corner. Whereas now I'd be completely different in my approach to things.
And how did you change then? Was that just through business and through creating your own brands that you almost became more assertive?
I think a few things, but becoming a mother for sure. And kind of being made feel like, oh, you're a mum now. What are you gonna do? Like, what are you gonna get a different job after this? You know, all this kind of, I nearly felt like I was being talked down to. Oh, you're hardly going to like be a model still, are you? Or what are you gonna do now that you have a baby? She can't just drop him and go off and do a job, because in the modeling industry, it is all very last minute. Literally on a Monday night, you'd be told you have to be, you know, in 5 hours away at 8 a.m. That's how we rolled. And things were so busy back then that it really was very last minute and you could be here, there and everywhere. I'd literally be going from county to county doing different jobs. So I was made feel scared about that. I had just hit a brick wall at only 28 now that I've become a mum, and I really felt like, oh God, what am I going to do?
So did yourself and Brian then sit down and kind of think about what would be next for you then?
Not really. It wasn't that planned out or that thought out at the beginning. So I'd had Ollie, I was getting no work, and therefore no money as well. So things weren't great then. They were kind of scary. And you were kind of thinking, God, when am I going to work again? When am I going to get an income again? So I hated that feeling of not knowing, you know, what was next. I felt like I had no control over anything. But then on the other side, I, you know, was a mom and I had this massive responsibility. Mm. And I did love becoming a mom. Like I really did. And I felt like that was the first time that I really felt like I had this important job to do. So I started to put up pictures. While I was pregnant, I'd put up a few pictures of like maternity outfit posts. And then it was during that time and after I had him, the people would say, "Oh, will you document your style a bit more?" So my friend of mine said to me, "Why don't you just set up like a blog page? I'll do it for you. You know, you could set up like free blogs." And I hadn't a clue, didn't even know how to update a blog. Mm. So she helped me set it up and I literally would post really crappy pictures. Had no clue about photography or anything, but I was literally just putting up things that I was wearing or things that I'd bought on the shops. And I might put up pictures once a month and then it was once every 2 weeks and then it was nearly every day. And I started updating a Facebook page every day and things just grew and grew kind of very slowly, but organically at the same time.
And then was there a moment where you thought, oh my God, this could be something?
Yeah. I remember then a friend of mine, a guy, asking me how many people were reading Pippa.ie. And I said, I don't know, like 35, 40,000 hits a day, something like that.
Wow.
And he was like, oh my God, like that's really good. And, you know, what are you putting on it? And I was like, oh, it's just a few pictures of my outfits and they're really not great quality. And he said, you should really take that a little bit more seriously. And, you know, maybe you could get people to advertise on your page, like take out ads. And I was like, really? Would people pay for that? I was that naive to the whole thing. And then I thought, God, who can I ring now or who can I email to take out an ad? So I would literally sit down and email any PR company I knew. And, you know, I had all these contacts from my modeling days. So I literally emailed everyone. I'd be like, hi, Georgia, just wondering if your company would like to advertise in Pippa.ie. Most people didn't reply. Some people were like, no, thanks. And then a good pal of mine, Alan Clancy, I'm sure you know him. He owns lots of bars and he had just opened 37 Dawson Street. And I said to him, can I put an advert on my website using 37 Dawson Street's images? And hopefully it'll look like, you know, you've paid me to do that. And he kind of laughed. He's like, yeah, you can advertise it if you want. So I did that. And I think that worked because about a month after that, I think I got my first, someone ran like a competition with me and an advert. And I got paid for that. And I thought, oh my God, this is amazing.
So I suppose back then, like brands would have been afraid of
even that long ago, but it wasn't the done thing.
I feel like the younger generation, that would just blow their mind.
Yeah.
That there's a starting point for everything.
Completely.
And you were at the like starting point for blogging.
Yeah.
It was perfect timing for you to build your brand.
And I think that's, people always say to me, oh, what's the answer? Do you have a secret or what, you know, how do you become successful at this? I don't know. I do think a lot it comes down to timing, I do think.
And hard work.
Yes, that also. Timing does help and having a few people kind of help you on your way. But I think you need to start things, whatever it is, whether it's a blog or a bakery or, you know, designing your own line of clothes. You have to start something with passion or, you know, yourself doing a podcast. You can't be starting things for the wrong reasons. You have to be passionate about something and people aren't stupid. I always think people see through things. And I always think as well, when I look at maybe younger people now and I look at maybe things that they're doing online and I'm like, oh, you're not, you can see that a lot of things aren't done with passion or integrity. I think you can kind of, you can see that quite clearly. Mm.
And it's like I wanted something for myself for the last 10 years, but yeah. I could never find what it was.
Yeah.
And as I was getting better and I was going back to work, I was like, it's a podcast.
Yeah.
It's a conversation. I'm a listener. I totally. Always have been.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and sometimes it does find you a long, long time. You mightn't be in your 20s or 30s. You could be in your 60s before you find what that thing is. And I think the beauty of nowadays is people are starting to realize that it's never too late to start something and to go with your passion. And it honestly, I'm lucky enough that I've made a successful business out of what I'm doing, but it wasn't about that. It wasn't about making money and earning a living from what I was doing. It was genuinely doing something that I really loved, and that's the truth.
And I think when you stop worrying about the paycheck, you stop worrying about that and just kind of do something focus for yourself.
On, yeah, focus on what you love doing and what you're good at.
Yeah.
I always think that it'll work out in the end. Mm. You just have to stick at it.
So would you consider your business now a family business? You've got Brian,
yeah.
your sister.
Yeah, I suppose. But when you think of it like that, yeah, it definitely is.
Is it important for you to have those people around you?
Definitely. Like, we're very tight knit, but although I'm like in the public eye or whatever you want to call it, I am very like private, and I'd be very kind of careful and wary who's in my circle. You know, I have another friend of mine who I've been friends with for, oh my God, a long time. Over 15 years, like, she's in my business as well. So I do have like a tight knit of people that are with me. And even Niamh, little doll, as I call her, Niamh Doherty has been like beside me since I began Pippa.ie actually. So she's been with me for years, and she's a gorgeous girl, but I love having people that around me that are with me a long time. You know, I'd yeah. I'm very much into loyalty, and I don't like having people coming in and out of my business and our office. You know, I like it to be a tight environment.
And would you say your sister is your best friend?
If she's listening now, sometimes. Yeah, of course, definitely. And it's so funny because I always slag her. She's older than me. She is 6 years older than me. But so when you're younger, that's a massive gap.
Yeah.
So when we were growing up, I was the biggest pain in the bum to her because I just wanted to rob her clothes. You know, I was jealous of her when she was going out with her friends, and I was probably an annoyance, like most little sisters or brothers. And it was only when I got into my like late 20s that we started to become good pals. And now like we're definitely like the closest that we've ever been.
You lost your mum.
Yes.
And obviously yourself and your sister, did you become closer?
Absolutely.
After that?
Yeah. So that was 4 years ago. So when I was 30. So definitely that brought myself and Susanna even closer. It's so bittersweet when things like that happen because, you know, for me personally, I found other aspects of my life get better once my mum passed away. It's so strange how things like that happen.
How did you deal with the trauma?
Oh, I don't know. I threw myself into work, and I'm not saying that that was the right thing to do, but that's what I did. Actually, I had it's so weird how everything happens in timings. I had put my first fashion factory for sale maybe a month before my mum passed away. And she died very suddenly, by the way. It was completely out of the blue. So it was due to take place, I think it was like 2.5 weeks after she died. And I had sold like 50 tickets. And before she passed away, I could not believe that I'd sold 50 tickets to my fashion factory. Just a little backstory on that. People would say to me, oh, will you do like a one-on-one styling session or like a personal shopping thing? And I would tell Brian all of these things that people would ask me and say to me. And he said, why don't you do like a day in a hotel or a nighttime thing, and you might get people come together and you could do more than a one-on-one, like get a group of you. And sure, that might be better crack anyway. So I thought, oh, okay. So did that, gained the confidence after months of talking about that. Like, it was literally sick to my stomach at the thoughts of putting myself out there to say to people, do you want to come to this fashion event, in case people went, are you serious? Who do you think you are to give us advice or inspiration on things? But anyway, did that. So that was such a big deal for me that I'd sold 50 tickets. Then my mum passed away. Obviously, we were all just rabbit in the headlights. It came as such a shock to us. And then it was like towards the end of that week that I remember I started thinking of the Fashion Factory, and I said, Jesus, I need to cancel that. I said to Brian and Susanna, will you contact those people, please, and just give them their money back? I'm obviously not going to do that. And then it was just a few people close to me and family said, why don't you just do it? Like, would you reschedule it? And I said, I suppose I could reschedule it for like a month later. And then someone else that is close to me, who, you know, had lost someone close to them, said, you're not going to feel any better in a week or a month or 2 months. Like, this is an awful time. I don't think you're going to feel any different in a number of weeks. So why don't you just do it? So I did the Fashion Factory literally the 2.5 weeks later. And looking back now, I'm like, how the hell did I do that? But for me at that time, it was the best thing I could have done, because it was something that I was really looking forward to. I really wanted to do it. It was such a learning experience for me. It really brought me out of my shell, and it put my focus onto something else. And I think that and work was the main thing that kind of helped me get through those first few months. It was awful.
How did you feel on that day then of the Fashion Factory? Like, did you feel like you were doing it for your mum?
Oh, totally. And she was so looking forward to it. Like, she was so glam and so into hair and makeup, and she 100% would have been like sitting there front row, and she would have been saying, she was very witty and really like very funny and very sarcastic. And I know she'd been saying things like, you know, who do you think taught her everything? And I taught her everything. She'd have just loved it. Like, she really would have been in her element. So that was a very emotional day. Like, just getting through that was really emotional. And I had Tara O'Farrell, actually, who's a good friend of mine now. She's an amazing makeup artist as well as a good pal. But she came that day because she was doing the makeup demo for me. And she's stayed with me in the Fashion Factories ever since. But I remember her being like a massive support on the day. She brought her mom and her sister, and my sister was there, and family. And it was a nice day, but it was very emotional. And I often think of those women that came that day. I'm like, I should have definitely given them their money back, because they helped me. You know, everyone in that room was such a support to me on the day. And I remember like catching Brian's eye and Susanna's eye at the back of the room. My voice obviously quaking out of all sorts of emotions, and them kind of looking at me as if to say, keep her lit, keep it moving. So that's what we did. And we just, it was that day on, I swear to God, my life career wise just changed and just skyrocketed. I don't know if it's because she was like guiding me along, or if I just pushed myself. I don't know. Like, Ollie was, he was not sure. He was 1.5 when my mum died. And I do kind of remember thinking that those few months, well, probably 6 months afterwards, they were a blur when it comes to Ollie. Everyone else really helped me out with him, because I was just all over the place. Like, Brian really took the reins after my mum died in loads of aspects of her life, but definitely with Ollie, because I wasn't able to cope.
And were you surprised by the amount of support, or how amazing people are when things happen?
Definitely. And you probably know this yourself. It's only when you look back, you kind of think, Jesus, I really needed the help there, and people really dug deep to help me out. And things like that, you don't forget. Like, it's only when things like that happen that you appreciate people around you so much.
When I, as a mum myself, and you know, when I was waiting to see if my cancer had spread, and I didn't know if I was going to leave Pia, all I cared about was that she was happy and loved and taken care of. So when I talk to people now who've lost a parent, I obviously don't know what it feels like, but I feel like I was almost there in terms of I had those thoughts of leaving my family.
I'm sure that's all you could think about.
So I feel like your mum seeing you happy and doing so well, like that's all she would have ever wanted.
I know. I was absolutely luckier than lots of people are. Lots of people don't even get to grow up maybe with their moms, or they mightn't get a chance to meet their own kids. So I do feel so lucky that she at least, you know, got to meet Ollie and got to be there for me until I was 30. But I always think it doesn't matter if you're like 3 or 30 or 60, you know, you always want and need your mom.
And she'll live on through you.
Yes.
What's it like for you at home when there's no Instagram, there's just you guys, just the four of you together?
It's probably like most people's houses, pandemonium. what's it like? Well, in the morning times, it's complete manic rush. Ollie's in school now. He's in junior infants. So it's the same as everyone else, trying to get up and out the door and asking them to brush their teeth 20 times and, you know, it's the usual. We're very, we're just normal like everyone else. There's nothing exciting to report.
This is the question of the podcast, I think.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, this is what I really want to know. So the kids are in bed.
Yeah.
Brian is out.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'd love to say I'm like, I like doing face masks and minding myself and like painting my toenails. I'm probably either replying to emails or on Instagram. I'd love to say I'm doing something productive. I think when they go to bed, Brian and I would be together a lot. Like we're a very together couple. Mm-hmm. So in the evenings, we would be like there a lot. He's better than I in terms of he likes to exercise. That's one of my New Year's resolutions that I haven't started yet. He likes to go spinning. So he sometimes goes to a spin class at like 6 or 7 or so in the evening time. I'm not into that. And he'll literally come back looking like he stepped out of the shower. I don't know how people go spinning. But we are usually together in the evenings. We love watching Netflix. We'll watch like any series going. But he will say to me, "Where's your phone now?" And I'll say, "Oh, it's over there." And he's like, because he knows what I'm like. I'm terrible. I'll pick my phone up like 10 times throughout the evening. So he'll say, "Well, put the phone away or put it in the kitchen." And he says I'm the worst influence, by the way, because I have such a sweet tooth. And he's way more like, he'll say to me, he always laughs and says, if we weren't together, I would be way healthier. I'd be ripped. You have me like this, he says to me, because I'm like, okay, what are we having? Are we having popcorn? I'm like, melt some butter and put it on the popcorn. I'm terrible. I have a terrible sweet tooth. I love popcorn and chocolate and wine. That's like my thing. Give me those things in the evening and I'm happy.
And do you get out much, or would you rather just stay in with Brian with a bottle of wine?
We probably go out less now that we have kids and now that we're in our house. So we moved into our like forever home last April. So nearly
a year. So beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
My God, it's stunning.
You'll have to come over. You're welcome.
I would love to.
Oh, come over. I love having people over now. It's my favorite thing in the world for people to come over either on their own or with kids. And I love entertaining. I think I got that from my mom. I absolutely love having people over to our house.
And do you like prepare like snacks and things like
that?
Yeah,
I'm not the best cook in the world, but I'm a good hostess in terms of I love getting the house ready. I love like flowers and lighting my candles and getting the music on. And I love setting an atmosphere. I love getting the drinks out. In terms of food, it might only be a few like picky things, but sure, that's fine. We could order a takeaway.
And do you do any sort of yoga or meditation or?
Oh, you know what? I don't. And I'm not just saying this because you're sitting in front of me. But when I was away on holidays and I was listening to your podcasts, I was saying to Brian afterwards, I like this is the year now. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get a personal trainer. I'm going to start yoga. I'm going to do a few more things for me, because I really don't, like, my life is consumed by my husband, my kids and my work. And like, I love it. I love all of it, but I'm not great at doing things for me. So I think that's the one area that I really have to improve on.
Mm. Because I,
like,
do,
I said to you today, sorry to interrupt you, I came in and I looked like a drowned rat. I got caught in the rain and I decided, I was like, I'm going to go and get a blow dry after this. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm just going to go and do that because it makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's so important to do little things like that for yourself. So you don't really get that much time to do things for yourself.
Don't get me wrong now. I'm good at sneaking off and getting my nails done and things like that. But I am, when it comes to like meditation or yoga or gym, no. I have gotten into the podcasts. I'm listening as well at the moment to Michelle Obama, which I absolutely love. Like, I loved her anyway, but I find that her story, that her book, well, I'm listening to it, it's so, so good.
Yeah, that's next on my list, actually.
You will love it.
I'm reading Giselle's book at the moment.
Are
Did you,
you
read that?
No.
It's fab. So, but she would literally make you feel so bad about yourself. So she
really?
Gets up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to the sound of the ocean playing through her phone. And then she goes into a room and meditates for 5 minutes while she wakes up. And then she goes into the bathroom and she puts coconut oil in her mouth for 5 minutes.
What? Yeah. Coconut oil in her mouth?
Yeah.
See, I don't believe all that shit.
Do you not?
No. I don't really. I don't know. I don't believe everyone like has it all. Like, or it kind of annoys me, especially here with a lot of like American celebrities. If they're asked like, how do you do it all? And they're like, oh, you know, I'm just very organized. I'm like, you're not just organized and doing it all. Like, if you have a cleaner or you have a nanny or you have an assistant or whatever you're doing, that's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. That's grand that you have all of those things. You don't have to be ashamed of that, but don't let on that you're managing every single thing. And like, people would often say to me, how do you do it all? And I'm like, please don't say that to me, because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't do it all. Like, if I'm working, someone's minding my children. Like, I can't do everything.
And how much of a support is Brian then? Or how involved? He's obviously so involved. It's your business together.
Yeah. So both of us are in business, you know, 50-50. Like, we both do very different things within the business. But yeah, we're both very hands on in it. I suppose I think also that that's a massive help into what I do, because I do think personally, if he was going off doing something completely different, or if he was off traveling, I don't know if I could be doing as much as I do.
Mm.
Like, I do think that having him with me, knowing what I'm about and knowing what I'm doing every single day and vice versa, it's a big support system, because we're sharing everything. Like, we're sharing the home, the kids, the work. You know, it's like a tag team.
And you're so on the same page. I think that's so evident for everybody on the outside looking at you guys.
We really are. And like, people would say, does that mean like you go to work every day and you like sit beside each other? Well, mind you, we do have a new office now and he is in front of me. I don't know how long that's going to last. But we really are doing so many different things. Like, he would travel a lot. He'd be meeting like suppliers, factories, manufacturers. He's dealing with logistics of things and
all the boring stuff.
he's dealing with accountants and bank managers, and you know, so he's doing all of that kind of stuff, and I am the creative one.
And so, do you just get ideas? I saw once that you said that you had an idea in a shower one day, and then you were like, "This is it. I need to do this now."
Yeah.
So when you come to Brian with stuff like that, is he like, okay, I totally believe in what you're saying?
Yeah, we bounce things off each other constantly. So if we're not in work together in the office, which we wouldn't be every day, to be honest, because I might be off doing something else and vice versa. Some days we'd be there together, but it's in the evening times then that we do most our kind of talking and bouncing ideas off each other. He's very good with the ideas. So he will always say to me, like, what do you think of this? And he always has great ideas and great names of things. And he is actually very creative as well. But we're both Leos. That's interesting because we also clash like hell. Like we're both, because he's such a Leo, I'm probably become a little bit more relaxed because he's so like passionate and fiery about everything. So he's probably made me a little bit more relaxed. So like if you rang Brian now and said, I have an idea to bring out a range of pianos. There's a piano here beside me. So that's why I'm saying pianos. He'd be like, I know someone that can help you. And he'd be back on the phone to you. And he's like such a proactive person. He never leaves anything on the long finger. He's a real doer.
That's great though, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's why we work so well together. He can kind of go off on one with ideas. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, rein that back in. But I suppose equally he might do that to me as well. But he's definitely not like a yes man. You know, if I say, what about this? He'd be like, no, hate it. And then we might have a fight about it. And then we might bring it to our team. And then we'll all fight about it. And I win in the end.
So did you decided yourself then the Fashion Factory, is it over?
Oh, I hate to say it's over, but yeah, like for the foreseeable, yes. And it sounds kind of stupid saying that because like I just did our last weekend in Limerick with 800 people there.
Wow.
And then people are like to me, why are you saying you're not doing them anymore if they're obviously still in demand? I feel with the fashion factories, I've been doing them for over 4 years, 4.5 years. So I am a believer in leaving things on a high and leaving things before they leave you. So I'm not saying I'm not doing anything like that again, but I think things need to be revamped and rejigged and just made bigger and better. And, you know, I have the passion and urge now to do something else and something different.
That is so admirable. I love that. And when I saw on Instagram that you were saying they were coming to an end, I was like, whoa, like, because you could have just continued doing
totally.
That
I don't
forever.
Believe that. And I don't believe like dragging the arse out of something. Yeah. And like, again, like, I don't believe in doing something because you think, oh, I need to do that now to make money. You have to be like really into it. And the Fashion Factory is so like time consuming and it takes so much energy and passion to do it that I loved doing it. But now I'm like, okay, I want to do something different and I want to be really excited about something else again. And I want to make everyone else excited and I'm always trying to better myself and better what I'm doing. I hate sitting back on my laurels and kind of thinking, oh, there's my jeans now. Just let them sell away TikTok or I'll just continue on with fashion factories. You know, you have to keep revolving things and changing things up and you have to keep improving for loads of reasons.
Your pop-up shops are so, you go in and you're just, you feel like you're in your world.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of way, and the effort that
I'm
goes
so
into
glad
them.
You said that because I absolutely love doing the pop-up shops. Yeah, business-wise would it probably be a better idea to open one shop and leave it there. But I don't kind of do things normally. I do things that excite me. I love the pop-up shops for that exact reason. It's exciting. We go to different areas. The people in that county or area are so excited. It means getting different designs in for the shop. And well, I have like a core kind of team that do the pop-ups with me, but I'll also get, you know, different part-time staff to come in as well. And that's so exciting seeing them pumped up about that. And because it's not your normal like shopping experience. You know, I always say to my staff, like people are coming from all over the country and you don't know what kind of day someone's had. So I meet people from literally everywhere and all walks of life. And I remember when we were in Dundrum, I'm going off tangent now, but I remember being in Dundrum and a lady came in to me and I knew by the look on her face, she wasn't having a good day. She just looked like, she just literally looked like she had the world on her shoulders. And she was from Cork and she said, oh, I was on my way home from Dublin. I had an appointment. And when she said that, I was kind of thinking, okay, what kind of appointment did you have? I obviously didn't ask. And she tried on the jeans and she came out and she started to cry to me. She said, I feel so good in the jeans and I've had such a horrible time. As she'd just been diagnosed with cancer. I don't know what type of cancer, but she'd literally just been diagnosed, and she said she didn't want to go straight home. She just wanted to kind of gather her thoughts. Mm-hmm. So she knew we had a pop-up shop in Dundrum, and she said, it was so weird. I just thought, I'll drive to Dundrum and go into Poco. Wow. I just wanted to do something nice.
And there you were.
And there I was standing there, and she and I chatted for so long. And that's kind of the point that I make to the people that are on my team. Like, you don't know what kind of day someone's having. You don't know anything. So, you know, greet everyone with a smile. You know, it's not about making a sale and selling the jeans there and then. I want people to walk away going, that was a lovely experience, and I had a really nice chat with that girl. And that's what people do say back to me. And when I get messages like that, I swear I'm like elated with happiness. You know, someone might say to me, I didn't buy anything today, but I definitely will, or I'll buy online, but I just want to compliment your staff. Like, they were, wow, they were just so lovely to talk to.
That is so amazing.
And I'm really proud of that. I love that.
What is next then? I'm so dying to know what you're going to do next. I know you're not going to tell me, but...
Okay, what am I doing next? Well, we've just planned our next pop-up shop. That's happening in May, Kildare area.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that, seeing as I'm from Kildare. And then beyond that, what can I tell you that I'm doing? My problem is I have so many things in my mind all the time, and it's like sometimes I need to just focus on those one or two things and go with it. I'm definitely not slowing up, that's for sure. People kind of say to me, do you feel like content now, and is that kind of it? I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm only getting going. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the older I get, I'm 35 this year, the older I get, I really feel like I'm becoming like more and more confident in myself. I'm like, I kind of care like less. I don't mean that in a way. I don't mean that to sound like in a bad way. I care less about what other people think. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Whereas before, like thinking about a fashion factory or thinking about like Poco, I was so hung up on what will people think of me. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm like, that doesn't enter my mind. I think, is that a good idea? Will that like satisfy me? You know, is that a good calculated risk business wise? And if it's a yes to all of those things, that's when I do it. I don't really look for people's opinions anymore.
You look so comfortable in your own skin, but not in a, like, you're very humble. You're just so normal, but you are very comfortable in your own skin. And that comes with age, doesn't it?
Definitely. It comes with age. It comes going through things like what you have gone through, you know, things that I've gone through in my own life, you know, not just my mom, like all these experiences that you kind of think, how am I going to get out of this? You know, all of these things, they are learning experiences. And I think when you're in the middle of something, of a bad time, you sometimes can't see the wood for the trees, and you kind of think, how am I going to get through this? But they definitely do make you stronger. They really do.
Pippa, I cannot thank you enough for coming in today and being so open. And I mean, you have hundreds of thousands of followers and they adore you. And it's clear for me to see why today. So thank you so much.
You're going to make me cry again. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast. Please subscribe so you can be the first to hear about new episodes. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review. You can check out thegoodglow.ie for more on my story and follow me on Instagram @GeorgieJCrawford.